Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
En masse.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Welcome to Felger and Maz. What did I say, Felger? We're off to a roaring start, Jimmy Stewart. Felger and Maz here on this re-entry Monday. Mike out again today. Jim Murray is alongside. And Matt McCarthy here to give us headlines. They are in our studio in Dorchester. Murray and McCarthy are. I am broadcasting to you from my home. And we got a lot to catch up on today, but here's where I want to start. First of all, how you two guys doing?
Oh, you know, peachy. Another day.
Murray, how about you, pal?
Great. You know, happy to be alive.
Phase two feels a lot like phase one, just saying. But anyway, that aside, we do have a number of things to catch up on. And I want to start with the latest proposal by Major League Baseball, which came out this morning via Carl Ravitch on Twitter. I'm still chuckling at Murray. I'm sorry. And Carl Ravitch had details of an offer made from owners to players during the Major League Baseball negotiation to commence the 2020 season. I almost wanted to call it a work stoppage because that's what it feels like. I don't know if you two guys feel the same way, but that's what it feels like to me, is that we're in the middle of a work stoppage in Major League Baseball. And Ravitch's tweet I found interesting. If I could just tell you guys quickly, too, while I'm at it. Early this morning, I started to get a sense that there was something coming from baseball today. Okay, now, if you remember, at the end of last week, all the reports were that there were going to be no more offers coming really from either side between the owners and the players to start the Major League season. That was really where we were at the end of last week. And yet, over the weekend, silence. Nothing. Not a peep. And I couldn't help but wonder if that meant that somebody somewhere was actually talking and they were trying to work out or hammer out the particulars of another proposal or maybe even a deal, something that would come out. And I wasn't expecting any major jump this morning, but early this morning I did tweet out, why do I get the sense that something is coming here from one side or the other? There's going to be some sort of movement. That was my sentiment this morning. Since that time, we got official news, again, from Carl Ravitch of ESPN, the host of Baseball Tonight, that the MLB owners have presented the players' union with another offer. And I'm going to turn now to Matt McCarthy and say, Matt, do you have the Ravitch tweets in front of you? And can you read them verbatim, if you would, please, on the air?
Yes, I can, Maz. MLB, and again, this is from Carl Ravitch on Twitter this morning. MLB has made proposal to players 75% prorated salary, 76-game season, playoff pool money, no draft pick compensation for signing players. Season finishes September 27th. Postseason ends at the end of October. Significant move towards player demands and effort to play more. According to sources, this equates to roughly $200 million more in player salaries. The 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right. Hopefully this spurs further dialogue. If not, we will play a short season. And then he asked the question, olive branch or thistle branch?
Okay, so let me ask you two guys then, right out of the gate. What do you think of that that report and the latest news? Is there any cause for optimism here with regard to Major League Baseball? Murray, we'll start with you.
I can't imagine so, because it was the players themselves that proposed the 114-game season, so they can get as much money as possible. It doesn't seem like they're willing to work, either side. So I think it's more thistle branch than olive branch.
Matt?
I think it's a slight olive branch. I think this is much closer to a reasonable proposal from the owners compared to what we saw before. The problem is, Maz, I don't think the players are going to take it as an olive branch. This is an extension by the owners. It's maybe a small little olive branch, but I just don't think the players are prepared to accept that or even prepared to negotiate off of this. That's my main concern.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's an attempt by the owners, an attempt to try to get discussions going again. Okay, an attempt to get discussions going again. So, again, I want to read the particulars of Carl Ravitch's report. And this was on Twitter, so whatever that is now. How many characters on Twitter now, Murray? You're up to speed on this, 250?
I guess.
280.
Okay, so it's you know, it's not like Ravitch wrote out a whole report. Okay, but nonetheless, he says, MLB has made a proposal, 75% prorated salary, 76-game season, playoff pool money, and then he goes on to some of the particulars. According to sources, this equates to roughly $200 million more in player salaries, the 50-game season not a threat, rather a negotiated right. So when I read that, I said, equates to roughly $200 more in player salary, they're going up in games, but they're going to 75% of prorated salary, which if you remember... you know, when the owners made an initial counter right out of the gate, players won 100% of their prorated salary. The owner's first proposal talked about major pay cuts, major, massive. So I saw 75% and went, oh, good. 76 games. So they probably come out with more money over 76 games than they would over 50, working at 75%, and they're throwing in some playoff money on top of it. Good. That's good news. Except that I got to the last line of Ravitch's tweet. The last line, or two lines. The 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right. Hopefully this spurs further dialogue. If not, we will play a short season. We? Carl Ravitch is going to play a season? So as soon as I read that last line, I went, well, I know where Ravitch is getting his info, not that this is any major revelation. Carl Ravitch works for ESPN, which is a partner of MLB. He's the host of Baseball Tonight. So I read the numbers and I say, well, this sounds like a good offer, but that last line, the 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right. As if to say, it doesn't really matter what the players say here, because if they say no to this, they're going to play 50 games. I'm sorry, we are going to play 50 games. We. That's what Carl Ravitch said. He actually used the word we. So to me, I have no doubt that Ravitch is getting all of his info from Rob Manfred or someone on Manfred's side, and that he's getting purely the MLB side of it. That's it. 100%. And nonetheless, I looked at it and I said, it sounds like MLB is moving. 75% of guaranteed money, a longer schedule, and playoff money. And then I saw some of the tweets by Evan Drellich, formerly of NBC Sports Boston, now working for The Athletic. And Drellich has done really some excellent, what I think is excellent investigative work here, going all the way back to the Astros scandal and now this thing. And Drellich sent out a series of tweets shortly after, in fact, almost immediately after Carl Ravitch did. And Drellich says, the MLBPA regards today's offer from MLB to be worse than the league's last, because it shifts greater emphasis on risk sharing in the postseason. Players would receive 50% of pro rata if there is no postseason, 75% if there is. Now, look, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to throw too many numbers at people because it confuses them. But let me ask you, Matt McCarthy, because your initial reaction was like mine, that the players came out and dumped all over the owner's latest offer. Here from Drellich, also Andrew McCutchen was among those on Twitter. His response to the owner's offer was LOL. Okay, that's what Andrew McCutchen tweeted out. And yet I looked at it and said, well, wait a minute. Now the players are just being dicks. They don't even want to engage in the discussion because owners look like they're giving a little bit more here, and the guy laughs in their face, so it tells me the players don't want to play. Except when I read Drellich, so when Drellich writes, and Matt, I want you to work with me here. Players would receive 50% of pro rata if there is no postseason, 75% if there is. Do you understand what he means?
Totally. If they don't play a postseason, then all of a sudden the player's salaries go down 25%, which is, I mean, that's significant. I understand their opposition to that.
Okay, so again, now I want to explain it further because I want people to understand this. MLB's first offer to the union included about $1 billion in the regular season and another $200 million in the postseason. That was the very first offer. This offer basically doubles the amount of postseason money, and MLB says that, well, that's an improvement, but the guaranteed money in the regular season actually comes down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay, it comes down. So the point being this, MLB is changing the wrapping paper. Now, look, there is the chance for players here to make more money if the postseason is played, and this has been a contention from the very beginning. The owners are going to make their money in the playoffs. That's where all the TV money is. The players are going to make it in the regular season. So effectively what the owners are saying to the players is, look, you're going to play for less during the regular season. If we have the playoffs and we make our money, we're going to give more of it to you. Okay, so you will come out with more. But when you look at that first tweet from Ravitch, your instinct is to say the owners are moving. Then the players come out and dump all over it, and you want to dump on the players for being uncooperative. And then the more you read about it, the more you realize that all the owners really did is change the wrapping paper. There's more money in there, but it's not guaranteed. Okay, it's not guaranteed. And so I just think we're still at this stage here where you're getting this manipulation of facts. And I think the Ravitch tweet, and again, look, Carl Ravitch is going to put out there what someone tells him, and they're probably going to leave out details. But when people talk about manipulating the media, this is the kind of stuff they're talking about. It's not what they tell you. It's what they don't tell you. So in this case, MLB isn't really changing all that much during the regular season. In fact, they're even giving the players a little bit less, but with the chance to make more if the playoffs are being played. That, I don't know about you guys, that pissed me off. That pissed me off because I then felt like I was being manipulated and twisted around.
Okay? Well, I think all of this should piss you off.
Go ahead, Matt.
I think all of this should piss you off. The way that the owners are handling it, the way that the players are handling it. Make no mistake about it. Like, this is a more legitimate offer than what the owners approached the players with at first. I mean, because if they're saying 75% prorated salary, their first offer, Maz, was 1/5 prorated salary for half the season, which was completely obscene, all right? So the owners started with a slap in the face on this, and now the players, I think rightfully so, are saying, hold on, these guys, we don't trust them. They're trying to get us. They're trying to put us over a barrel on this. So that just makes the players more obstructionist, which, again, the players have always been obstructionists in baseball. The owners are going for as much money as they possibly can here. And the ultimate, the end story of this is that nobody has the best interest of baseball in mind. And that is the problem. And that is why we are still here talking about this stupid story and these stupid two sides of this argument. I hate this as a baseball fan. We are getting nowhere.
And all I keep hoping for is to read from one of these guys that is, hey, it's going away. But that being said, I mean, it's clear that Ravitch is, you know, working as the PR arm for Major League Baseball.
That feels that way, Murray. Yeah, feels that way.
It's no typo that he wrote, if not, we will play a short season. And it's a crock that he writes the 50-game season is not a threat, rather a negotiated right. It's clearly a threat.
Oh, to me, there's no question it's a threat. So now the question to me becomes, how do the players respond to this? Are they willing to come back with an offer that the owners would consider? Because I think at the end of the day, the owners are trying to get the players to negotiate. Okay, I think that's what they're trying to do. Because it feels to me like from the very beginning, the players have had their backs up, even though they signed a deal back in March that said that they would revisit the issue if the games were to be played in front of no fans. Okay, they got their backs up from out of the gate. So I at least feel like the owners are making a little effort, and that's little with a lowercase L. Okay, little. They're making a little bit of an attempt to try to engage in some sort of discussion, and the players are making zero attempt to engage on that. More importantly, as it pertains to re-entry Monday and really as it pertains to today's show, it feels to me like ownership's going to be a central topic today because the NFL owners are in a little bit of a storm themselves. So that's where we're going to start. We'll get to the NFL owners next. 617-779-0985. Again, Felger's off. Murray's in. McCarthy's in. We'll get to your calls next. And I want to touch on Roger Goodell's very newsworthy statement, video, that he issued late Friday, and that has drawn the attention of everybody, including the president. We'll get to that next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, welcome back to Reentry Monday. If you are watching on the simulcast, you just saw Roger Goodell's video that he posted, or that the league posted at the end of last week. We're having just some technical problems here on the radio side. So we'd love to play it for you at the moment, just having a little bit of problems, so we'll figure that out. But nonetheless, many of you have already seen the video that the NFL posted to the internet, or that Goodell posted to the internet. Late Friday, expressing his support for Black Lives Matter and for, and more than anything, really, I think Murray and Matt McCarthy. The surprising part of it is acknowledging that the NFL was wrong back in 2017 and how it handled a protest during the national anthem and things of the like. And so before we even go any further, let me ask you guys up front. What did you think of Goodell's video? Do you take it at face value? Is there any motivation behind it? Why do you read that?
Yeah, I mean, I take it at face value. I found it interesting that he never named anyone like Colin Kaepernick or Eric Reed. And I can't help but wondering in those two players' cases, especially Kaepernick's, if there's a legal reason behind that, because there was the settlement, you know, and the lawsuit from a few years ago. So I know that frustrated a lot of people, and it wasn't good enough, because again, any of these statements aren't going to be good enough for a certain segment of the population, unfortunately. But overall, I thought it was good. I think it kind of draws a line in the sand in regard to the NFL going forward with the president. So they either don't acknowledge any of his tweets and they allow the players to kneel during the national anthem, and well, that will remain to be seen. But overall, I think in regard to the message, I thought it was a good job.
I thought it was a significant change from where they were 3 or 4 years ago. I thought the NFL really tried to handle it as politically as possible 3 or 4 years ago, but I thought they made no secret about where they stand on this matter now. So I thought that was what struck me the most, is that even though Goodell did not mention Kaepernick by name, you know where Goodell and you know where the NFL stands right now, whereas a few years ago, you really didn't. I mean, they tried to really toe both sides of the issue there a few years ago, and now you know exactly where they stand on the matter. Whether they changed their opinion on the matter, you know, I don't know, because I don't know where they stood 3 or 4 years ago, but I know where they stand on it now, and I thought it was appropriate. And you know what? Listen, I hate Roger Goodell as much as anybody else out there. It was hard to disagree with that, and it was hard to disagree with that approach. And you know what? I can't believe I'm about to say this. Bravo, Roger Goodell. Bravo.
Well, so do you guys remember how much owners were getting tugged at both directions 3 years ago? And when I say that, I mean corporate sponsors, partnerships, all of these sorts of things that the NFL had to honor with, or felt it had to honor with regard to the national anthem. And yet at the same time had a collection of players that wanted to express themselves, had the right to express themselves. And the NFL, as you said, Matt, and you too, Murray, they didn't want to take a stand on anything. Now, all of a sudden, the commissioner comes out and takes an emphatic stand, so much so that the president himself tweeted a reply to Goodell's comments. Not that that's any sort of news, because that jackass can't get off of Twitter anyway. And I hate calling the president a jackass, so I should withdraw that, because frankly, Murray, I have too much respect for the office, even if it is true. But Trump himself ended up tweeting out, could it be even remotely possible that in Roger Goodell's rather interesting statement of peace and reconciliation, he was intimating that would now be okay for the players to kneel or not to stand for the national anthem, thereby disrespecting our country and our flag. Okay, that is what Trump tweeted out. Now, to me, the only reason that this is noteworthy is that many owners support Trump. In fact, Murray, you may remember this better than I, but isn't Woody Johnson like an ambassador? Or the owner of the Jets or something like that?
Yeah, he's in the administration somehow.
Okay, so again,
U.S. ambassador to the U.K.
Okay, so there you go. So you have all of these owners who support Trump. You have many of them, not all. Many who support Trump. Woody Johnson's an ambassador, for crying out loud. And yet you have the commissioner now coming out saying that they will support their players, their right to protest, which certainly suggests that what Trump alluded to, that the players are going to be allowed to kneel on the sideline, much to the dismay and the chagrin of the president himself. So it feels like the owners are picking a fight with the president, not to mention their sponsors, which I find surprising. Now, there have since been reports that when Goodell posted the video or made the statement, that many owners were unaware that this was going to happen. Did you guys see this?
I did not.
Okay, so there is a story out there. I think it was originally from Mark Maskey of the Washington Post. It was summarized on Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio's site. But Maskey basically said that Goodell canvassed a few of the influential owners in the league. He spoke to some in particular and said that he was going to go ahead and do this, had their blessing, and that many owners did not even know that Goodell was going to take this stance, that many of them would support Goodell in taking this stance, but not all of them knew about it. Does this create any sort of storm or issue for the commissioner in your mind, Murray?
I don't know. Again, this is one of the things that'll remain to be seen.
I think that's fascinating to me, Maz, because this, if that's true, this would be the first time probably in Roger Goodell's tenure that he did something on his own. As a man, got up there, did something on his own, took a stand without being a puppet for the owners. That's a criticism of Roger Goodell that has been, you know, levied against him, rightfully so, really, ever since he took office as NFL commissioner. He is nothing more than a puppet for the owners. If Goodell did this on his own without the backing, the blessing of the 32, good for him. Good for him. You know, that's what you get paid $50 million a year for. You don't get paid just to be a puppet to the owners. You get paid to actually have an opinion on matters and to actually make decisions on your own that doesn't necessarily reflect the majority of the NFL owners. So if that's the case, I'm happy to hear that. I'm surprised to hear it, but I'm happy to hear it.
See, I think he did have the support, though, Matt. And again, it might not have been all 32, but when the report says that he canvassed a few of the influential owners, do you think Robert Kraft was one of them?
Probably.
Guaranteed.
For sure.
Guaranteed.
Definitely. So the one I wonder about is Jerry Jones in Dallas. That's the one I wonder about. Jones is very vocal about the anthem 3 years ago and respecting the country and the flag and the anthem and all of that. And so I wonder whether Goodell's playing politics inside the ownership groups and that he went to a few of the influential ones that he knew would be on his side He got their support so that if and when someone like Jerry Jones expressed some displeasure, that Goodell would be armed to take those guys on and be able to say, well, look, this is how we feel. This is how we're going to handle it. And this is why we have to do it. We have to do it for the betterment of our league and our players. And I want to get to more on that in a second. But first, we'll get to a couple of calls. Pete's in Delaware. Pete, what do you got?
Hey guys, as far as Roger Goodell goes, two things I thought influential. One, I thought Drew Brees' statement back to the president was a huge deal. And I think that had, I thought that his statement was incredible. But number two, Roger Goodell has been the guy who's been punished for everything. And we know the owners are just sitting and letting him, you know, deal with it. Isn't this, now maybe it's about Roger Goodell, his own legacy that he wants to leave. They just did it. They just did the CBA. That's done with. Maybe he's just looking at it and saying, you know what? I want to take a stance for what I believe in. I'm always getting vilified. Now you guys have to figure out what side you're on as far as the owners. Maybe it's not, but I just think it's an interesting thought.
So, look, maybe this probably reflects more on me than it does on anyone else. Not that this is a shock, Murray. I just don't trust people at all. And I certainly don't trust ownership in MLB or the NFL. I just don't. And so, which is why I think that as much as I believe the owners in MLB took a little bit of a step forward today to try to reach out to the players and say, hey, look, at least talk to us and tell us how we can figure this thing out, because I think what that's what that thing was. I also look at Roger Goodell, who represents the owners in the NFL, and I say, well, is he trying to do the right thing here? Sure. Yes. Absolutely. But is that really what his motive is? And maybe the best thing I have heard about the protests, the anthem, George Floyd, all of it, as it pertains to the world of sports, came from Louis Riddick this morning on Get Up on ESPN, which I'll share with you when we come back. But first, Matt McCarthy's got your headlines.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last time. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to Felger and Mazz. Just have a quick question for Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy. Again, we're having some technical difficulties, so we don't have access at the moment to the audio we wanted to play for you. Which is my mistake. I told you at the end of last segment that I wanted to play something Louis Riddick said this morning on ESPN, but we can't do that for you at the moment. So we're working on that. Jimmy Stewart's at it back there, as always. Let me ask you guys a quick question with regard to Goodell's video last Friday. Do you think he endorsed kneeling? Murray and McCarthy, do you think he endorsed the concept of kneeling on the sideline?
No.
Without saying it, yes. Or at least he endorsed his support for it, and yeah.
Murray, why not?
You think? I thought you meant like prior to that.
No. I meant in the video. Do you think he endorsed the right to protest by kneeling?
Oh, yeah. Essentially, I think by putting something like that out, yeah. I mean, you're now accepting silent protest by any player in the league, coach, whoever, if they're still going to play the anthem going forward, that they can take a knee during it. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't think you would put a video out like that.
Okay, so I tend to think like you think, Murray, and you know, it sounds like McCarthy's on the same page. Why put the video out and then 2 months from now all of a sudden say, nope, that's not what I meant? Because he'll look like a jackass if he does that. Because I think that video made it clear, hey, we weren't listening, especially when he says, we were wrong. We were wrong 3 years ago. The commissioner said point blank, we were wrong. When does the NFL ever admit to a mistake in anything? The Ray Rice video, for example, they still won't acknowledge that whole thing, for crying out loud. Like, they cover everything up. They lie. They admit nothing. Nothing. Ever. The NFL. All of a sudden, you have the commissioner come out and saying 3 years ago, we were wrong. So to me, if they were to reverse field on that now, boy, would that really look bad. That would be totally disingenuous. My question to fans is, do you think it would be the same that I just asked Murray and McCarthy? Do you think he endorsed kneeling, and how do you feel about it? Because I think he did, and I'm okay with it. Now, I have my theories as to why he did it, and I don't think that they are all, you know, look, we all feel very strongly about the events of the last couple of weeks. One way or another, we feel very strongly. In my specific case, I believe that people like Drew Brees initially changed the subject, didn't want to acknowledge the real issues. And I think now everybody, at least for the moment, is paying attention and is listening and trying to do and say the right things. So certainly there's part of that going on with Goodell. But I also think there are other reasons, okay? And I think they pertain to the health and well-being of the NFL as a corporation and as a business. And this is the cynic in me now talking, Murray. But let me ask both of you guys again. Who right now would you say is the most important player in the NFL?
Oh, Patrick Mahomes, no question.
Easily Mahomes.
Okay, and I tend to agree. I think it's Mahomes in a runaway. Mahomes is the next great star in the league, if he's not the next great star already. He's a dynamic talent. He's a likable kid. He's a champion. He's an MVP. And he's 24, 25 years old, whatever the hell he is. Pat Mahomes is the next great quarterback in the NFL. Mahomes is the guy. Mahomes is also African-American. Do you know that in 2019 was the first time in league history that the Super Bowl winning quarterback and the MVP of the league were both African-American? Did you know that?
Yes, actually, yeah.
No, I
okay.
didn't.
Okay, so amazing statistic. But this isn't just about Mahomes. Mahomes is the most significant part of it. But I saw this stat on ESPN this morning, and this relates to the comment that I was going to play for you by Lewis Riddick. The top five quarterbacks in the NFL this year, based on QBR, which is an ESPN stat, but nonetheless relates to quarterback rating. Number one, Lamar Jackson. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. Number three, Drew Brees, who spent the last week taking his foot out of his mouth. Number four, Dak Prescott. Number five, Russell Wilson. So outside of Brees, what do those four other guys have in common?
They're African Americans.
Bingo! Six, Matthew Stafford. Number seven, Deshaun Watson. Five out of the top seven, including Watson. All African-American. The stars in the league now, the quarterbacks, are African-Americans. And so Riddick's comment this morning, and oh gosh, it was it such a great point. The NFL's waiting for its new wave of stars here, or it has it. Brady's 43. Brees is aging out. Manning is gone. Both Mannings are gone. Phillip Rivers is on the way out. Roethlisberger is on the way out. Aaron Rodgers just had his replacement drafted in Green Bay. And the next wave of quarterbacks in the league? And remember, we've talked about it a million times on this show, Murray. Quarterback, management position. Management position. And the best players in the league at that spot now are African American. So the cynic in me looks at Goodell and says, oh, I get it. as much as you are trying to do the right thing, and I don't dismiss that they're not. I mean, I think the league's trying to do the right thing. I also think they're trying to make sure that they preserve good relationships with the best players in their league going forward. At least that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't, especially when the night before that you had someone like Patrick Mahomes be part of a video that was put together by an employee who kind of went rogue, that is the head of the social media department, I think, or something along those lines for the NFL. So after that, if the league and the league commissioner doesn't say something, well, they look like a complete ass. So, no, I don't think you need to feel bad about being a cynic about that. I think that's exactly what happened.
And it also comes on a weekend where Drew Brees takes direct aim at the president. You know, and that, of course, only empowers the NFL, you know, to take this stand on this issue, you know, even more forcefully, where you have Drew Brees, who was in many ways the face of the other side, whatever you want to call it, taking direct aim at the president over this issue. I think this only empowers the NFL even more.
I mean, really, again, the top five quarterbacks in the league, Jackson, Mahomes, Brees, Prescott, Wilson, based on QBR. Four of them are African-American, and Drew Brees now has emphatically declared that he is on that side, too, after putting his foot in his mouth last week, right? I mean, it is – Goodell almost had to come out and say what he said on Friday. Had to. Jim is in a car. Jim, go.
Hey, guys. So we're sitting in a moment where, you know, things that are happening are really changing the outlook of America. You know, COVID-19, George Floyd has shined a light on the disproportionate treatment of African-Americans in healthcare, policing, everything. And the NFL, what they've done is what the rest of corporate America has done. They have seen the change in public opinion on this issue. I'm sure they've researched it with their sponsors and polled it in different ways, and they're responding. And look, they did not make this announcement the day after George Floyd was killed or even the week after. It took time. And the reason they took time is because they wanted to be politically in a position that they were comfortable with. And so I don't see this as a badge of courage for Roger Goodell. I see this as, you know, this is a safe corporate maneuver.
Well, so there were, it's a good way to put it. A maneuver is the right way to put it. You know, and again, I don't doubt that many owners are trying to do the right thing here. I don't doubt that. But I also think there are other motivations for it. That's my only point. As it pertains to this. And look, I would also tell you that, you know, when you say the league has done its research, and again, I'll ask you guys, Murray and Matt, because we talked a lot about it at the time, Murray. NFL ratings were down at that time. Do you remember we talked a lot about NFL ratings dropping, and a lot of people thought they were because of the anthem protests?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still believe that?
No, not for a second.
No, I think it was a very, very small portion of it. A sliver. I think it affected it, but not to the extent that some people will want you to believe on a certain side of the issue.
So I think that the NFL owners, since that time, came to the conclusion that it wasn't affecting TV ratings at all. So they're now willing to do the right thing because they know it's not going to hurt them at the television set. They know that people are still going to watch. We can't help but watch. We love football. So I think all of those things have been weighed in here, and they're trying to now they're taking the right side of it because they know there's not necessarily a cost for it. And in the case of who the quarterbacks are in that league, I also think they know what the benefits are. 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of open lines. I want to get to a couple of other things. We're going to get to some actual football items here shortly, including something involving Julian Edelman in a tweet by Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, who will join us a little later on to fill us in on that. We'll get to all of that next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Felger and Maz. You know, we do have a couple of calls. I was going to say something else, Jim Murray, but I'm going to hold that thought. Okay, I'm going to hold that thought. I'm trying to harness my anger. Let's get back to some phone calls first. Mary's in Florida. Mary, go ahead. I'm Roger Goodell.
Hi there, guys. Can you hear me?
What do you got, Mary?
I just wanted to say that if Roger really wants to mean it, then he's got to take a knee on that very first game, right with his players. Otherwise, he's going to look like a hypocrite.
So, Mary, Yep, thanks for the call. I tend to agree with you. I think that when the commissioner comes out and says the kinds of things that he said on Friday, it's hard not to take that as an endorsement for peaceful protests, and in this specific case, kneeling during the national anthem on the sidelines of NFL games in the fall, whether there were stands in the fans or not.
What if he doesn't believe that? See, this is where, and this is why I'm,
go ahead, Murray,
I mean, I'm mad all the time now. So, okay, the statement's not good enough. Why does he have to take a knee? Why do you have to yell at cops to take knees? Why does everyone have to take a knee if that's not what they truly believe as a person? Isn't the statement good enough? Nothing's ever good enough, apparently.
Your point being, Murray, that as long as he allows the players to take knees, that should be fine.
And that should be fine. I think that's perfectly acceptable. It was acceptable 3 years ago. But now he's going to look like a hypocrite if he doesn't take the knee. Take the knee. You got to take the knee. If you don't take the knee, you're against us. There's no middle ground. Ugh.
No, listen, it's a good point, Murray. Yeah, it's a good point. And really what he did on Friday was say that if the players wanted to peacefully protest and take knees during the anthem, that it certainly felt to me like he was endorsing that. I mean, remember that the league basically had a broker a deal with players at that particular point in time that allowed them to stay in the locker room if they wanted during the anthem. Remember all these particulars that we need to be reminded of what happened at that particular point in time. Do you have any concerns about the Patriots' ability to handle it?
No, not at all. No. And I know we're going to talk to Mike Giardi of NFL Network in just a little bit. I mean, I take what he tweeted at his word that Bill Belichick and his team have talked it all out. And I know late last week, people were, where's Belichick's statement? Bill, say something. Bill, you have to say something. You owe it to us. Give it to the world. You have to. And as I said, and I still believe this, and Gasper and I kind of disagreed on Saturday because he think it would be good for Bill to put out a statement. I just think the only thing that's important is that he talks to his teammates and his coaches and everyone else in that organization. As long as they're appeased and they've, he's listened to his African-American players, like that's all he owes. That's no one else. That's it.
I mean, of all the people out there that I have confidence or no confidence in, Belichick's among the people I have the most confidence in his ability to handle it. My guess is that Bill is, and there have been reports out there to this effect, that Bill has already done a great deal to open up channels of communication with his players. And see, I think that the support that Belichick showed Murray for Trump back in the election 4 years ago had less to do with politics and more to do with the fact that he had met Trump, considered him to be a friend, and probably wanted to associate with himself with Trump just because he's a star bleeper. So I don't think it was politically driven, and I think the fact that Trump shared that note at the rally in New Hampshire was a violation of the friendship, and I'd be willing to bet that Bill won't do it again. That'd be my guess.
I'm with you on that, but good luck trying to convince, you know, a certain segment of the population that it's just about a friendship and nothing else.
Peter is in Norton. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, two things on Roger Goodell and his statement. I do a lot of change management with corporations. And when you know, there are reports that he spoke to the owners. You have to ask, which owners did he speak to, and why did he speak to it? And I think about a Robert Kraft and the Sun and the whole Kraft organization, you know, they're going to sit there and understand what's in their best interest as an organization and what's right to do. When you think about it, Jerry Jones.
Peter, but and, ultimately, what are you getting at here?
Ultimately, he has marginalized maybe somebody like Jerry Jones, who is more concerned about having a jacket than the number of rings, more concerned about himself, and views himself as Trump views himself.
Okay, so Peter, you're confusing me. At the end of the day, if you're telling me that Roger Goodell was particular about which owners he communicated with because he knew which ones would give him support, my answer is yes. My answer is yes. But I also think the league took a very public step with Goodell's video. And Murray, it was late Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the league took a very public step there. That's a hard thing to walk away from now. And there have to be owners within those 32 that don't necessarily agree with it. And Jerry Jones is probably among them. So I don't think there's any question that Goodell's playing some sort of political game. I also don't question whether or not, you know, he supports Black Lives Matter and or the George Floyd case, you know, the cause, rather. I just think that there are ulterior motives here with Goodell. And if you're telling me that in the ranks of ownership in the NFL that the majority of owners side with the commissioner on this thing, I agree with that. I would tell you, though, I don't think it's all politically driven. Jason's in Tewksbury. Jason, go. Well, we don't have Jason. How about that? All right. I want to get to some football because, frankly, we've spent way too much time talking about labor disputes, Murray, way too much time talking about politics. I think it's making people a little nuts. So I want to get to something that Greg Bedard wrote on the Boston Sports Journal concerning how he forecasts the NFL. It's really about power rankings. We've had a couple of varying power rankings in the NFL here over the last couple of weeks. One initially came up from Pro Football Focus, the other from Peter King. Both had the Patriots ranked. One had the Patriots ranked very high. One had the Patriots ranked very low. We'll tell you what Greg Bedard has the Patriots, and more importantly, what he sees as a perceived strength of the team. It's an area that may surprise you. We'll get to that after Mac Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.